subtle joke, a touch of class, poured in a tall martini glass. Let's swing them down to Ricky's, down to Ricky's place.
Hello and welcome to Rick's Martini Bar, but we're not in a martini bar. We're in my hotel room at the Staybridge Suites in beautiful Utica, Michigan, for my one-on-one interview with Brad Savage. Hi, Brad.
How you doing, Jer?
Oh, great. So this is just for the Metro listeners, and I wish I had a martini because I need to loosen you up a little bit to get the information. So I want to hear the story of Brad Savage, like, you know, where he came from. And then I got some specific questions about you. So just give me a little bit here.
Why is your hand on my mic?
My hand is not on your mic.
Oh, sorry. What was your question?
My question. Okay, I'm just going to go into the things. Just some little known things about Brad Savage.
Yes, shoot.
Which are unbelievable and things that only I know. Okay, first of all, you actually went down to Lakeland, Florida. Am I right?
You are correct, sir.
And tried out. You actually tried to be a walk-on for the Detroit Tigers.
You are correct, sir.
That is just incredible that you would actually, and you trained for it.
You are correct, sir.
You trained. So just give me a little bit idea there. Just give me that age, how old you were, what you're doing it there. I mean, you're at the age where you're, how old?
I was probably 20, 21.
21. And you're playing softball, and you're jacking the ball a little bit. You got a little pop in your bat.
Yeah.
And you had a good arm.
How about those action heroes?
No, I want to hear about this. I want to hear about this. Because, here's why. Because it's like I would never in a million years have the guts to do that. To go, I mean, I might go to the corner. I might go if there were like a casting call in Hollywood for extras. 20, 30 miles, I might go. You drove, like, how many miles is that? Five? Hey, that's probably like 1,000 miles.
Miles.
You had drove 1,000 miles.
Yes.
To try out. But to tell me, I want to hear about this.
You know, the whole thing, Jerry, is that if you want to do something, and it could be just something on the spur of the moment, it could be something that you've always dreamed of doing, but you might as well go ahead and do it.
I think that's awesome. I wish I could do it. I wish my kids will not walk to the TV to turn off the TV. I wish they had a little bit of that.
For crying out loud, I have to actually cell phone my kids up in the upstairs bedroom to tell them it's time for dinner.
But to go 1,000 miles. So just tell me a little bit about, you know, being there to have that much self confidence to do that. That's awesome. Just tell me a little. Seriously, this is what the Metro people want to hear.
This is like 35 years ago.
Don't care. I still think it still has an impression on me.
I thought we were going to talk about me burning my arm.
No. I want to hear about this. This is like, it's one of the things I admire about you.
All right. Well, and you helped me train and stuff like that.
I remember throwing you ground balls.
Yeah, you know, and I was trying out for third base.
Right.
And
where are you going then? Give me a weight. 6'4". You're 6'4", 6'5". What are you?
6'4".
6'4".
At that time, I was probably going just about 190, 200 pounds. I was
reflexes like a cat.
I was a cat. I was a cat. In fact, that was my middle name.
Kelly the cat.
Kelly the cat.
Okay, so you, anyway, so you go in there in the glove. What glove did you have then? Who was the autographed baseball glove?
Back then.
I had a Ron Santo.
I'll tell you what, I still have the same glove.
Huh?
But I have not played any ball in years. And I couldn't tell you who the signature is on that, but it is the same glove. I've had two baseball gloves in my life. during high school and then post high school, and that's, you know.
And you have no idea who the autographs were. I like know everyone.
Paul Blair was my.
Ooh, I remember that Paul Blair glove.
Yeah, Paul Blair was my original kid glove. I don't recall if there was a signature in that one. Do they always have to have signatures?
Yeah, I had a Bob Friend, and I had a I had an Al Kaline. And then I had a Ron Santo and a Bob Friend.
You notice I'm changing the subject here.
Yeah, no, I want to hear about this. So anyway, so you're going there. You were running. I remember you were running to get in shape to do this, and you were hitting. How are you hitting? Hardball, fastball.
Really couldn't catch up to the real live stuff.
Did you actually hit when you went in Florida?
Sure.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How many pitches did you get?
I took probably, if I recall correctly, probably about 50 pitches or so.
And what happened?
Oh, I mean, seriously, you can't catch up with that. You know, there's nobody that can throw the speed. And when during that day, there really wasn't batting cages around, you know, that, you know, like they have at our, you know.
But you had to guess they were throwing 80 miles an hour.
In Lakeland?
Yeah.
Probably 80 to 90. I was going to say, I don't think there was any fireballers back then, but anything that they were throwing was definitely faster than I've ever seen.
And hit any in play?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Jack Eddy?
No.
Oh.
But it was just fun to actually go out and do something like that.
That was awesome. So I want to hear about things. So you train and you're getting ready, and then you take – and it takes – how long does it take to get to Florida from Detroit?
A day, you know. I mean, you're just driving straight on down, you know.
And you just drove there and say, I'm here to try out? Or you had to register beforehand?
You registered beforehand, and you walked on and just worked out. And, of course, they split you up pretty quick. And, you know, I mean, they're – but you got to try to do everything at that time, you know. And it was a good experience.
That's awesome. I mean, like I said, I wish I would do that. I would never think I would take – so basically the whole thing took you 3 days. Pretty much. Am I right? No? Or you stay down there?
Yeah, no, it took 3 days. But anyway, we stayed down there a little longer than that, but yeah.
Then it was you and DJ.
Me and DJ and Larry.
And Larry?
Yeah.
And how come I couldn't go?
You were just a kid.
Yeah. So that always impressed me that you went down there, and I never heard the results. I mean, I knew you didn't make the team. So
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. I was pretty sure. I got a few baseball cards. The next month, you weren't on any of them. So I was like, pretty sure you didn't make the team. So, but anyway, okay. So, but you see, that is a trait about Brad Savage.
But not as drastic as that. But I recall when I was 17 and you were 16, I believe.
Yep.
We were just talking, and we thought, you know, I wonder what it's like to just jump in the ocean. And so you and I hopped in a car. I have no idea how we got permission. But we basically drove cross-country.
In 1970. Four Nova?
72
Nova.
Yeah.
Orange.
And the thing that struck me after the fact was if I just wanted to jump in the ocean, there was one a lot closer than the one on the west coast.
I said you had the fire in the belly. I didn't say
you didn't have the brains upstairs.
No. But yeah, but that's like the same thing. It's just like
how long did that trip take us? It took us like a week.
Yeah, I am. But you came back with like a dent in the car, and the lock was broken.
But there was not a whole lot of planning going into that
trip,
was
it? No, but it was just like do it
spur of the moment. It was like let's do this. Okay.
Okay, and so we had that incident, and I'm going to give you another incident. Is Brad Savage and the Cockroaches?
Yes.
Just said one day. I want to be in a band.
It actually all started was I said I would like to be in a band, and if you recall, we went to a catalog,
mm-hmm.
and we bought instruments.
Yes, I believe it was the
J.C. Penney
catalog.
Yes, and we bought drums and guitars and bass and
drums
speakers
were a piece of crap.
And everything. Oh, yeah. Oh, it all was. You know? But it was like, okay, we started the band, and the name of the band?
Dilch.
And, yeah, we started playing some songs.
Okay,
and then,
but, okay, lots of people get the idea to have a band. Lots of people get the idea to, I'm going to write a song. You actually made records.
Correct.
Was on a TV show.
Correct.
And
Kiss Meredith McRae on the Lips.
Yeah, that was in the California trip.
Okay.
That was in the... and then also... I've got another thing we got to talk about if we don't run out of time. But...
could we possibly run out of time?
So anyway, but you did made a video... Did the thing, and then for some reason we're at a high school playing on it. I have no idea how that happened.
Yeah.
So it's just like, why, how, what happened?
Exactly. It's
and we played at the Wooden Nickel.
Yeah, we played locally, and we played at, we played at Vinny's.
Vinny's? Oh, that's right. We played at Halloween.
Vinny's. Different venues, and it was a lot of fun. And we had some walk-ons with the boys.
The boys.
The boys were playing around town, and you and I would walk on and do a couple of numbers live.
The Country Tavern. Why don't you tell that incident when we decided to wear Blues Brothers suits and went to the Country Tavern to try to... sing a few songs.
Yeah, there was a band playing, and somebody had gone up and says, "Hey, you got to let them sing." And they go, "Why?" And they says, "They're the Blues Brothers." And they said, "I don't care if they're the Statler Brothers. They ain't coming up here to sing."
Okay. So anyway, so that's just another example. But, yeah, I'm going to go back to you talked about the trip to California. And this is kind of another Brad Savage trait, which is probably how all of this happened in the first place. I don't know if it's your influence or your salesman ability or what it is, but for some reason you went to get a permanent, like Bert Convy, in California, right?
Yes.
And we left California, and I had one.
And I did not.
And
I am good.
How did that happen? And I regretted it. It's the only permanent I've ever had in my life. I never got another one.
I have plenty of pictures with you with the perm.
I never got another one
you
after
thought you
that.
Looked so good after that.
But I never did that. I didn't leave planning to get one. I was not planning to get one over there. But so how do you convince a person to get a permanent?
You tell me.
I have no idea.
Okay, Regis. I have no idea.
So, yeah. So how'd that happen?
It was just like, again, we were on the Queen Mary, if I recall, right?
Yeah, I think right was that before or after you stuck your butt out of the porthole?
That was one of the last things. I mooned Long Beach.
Yeah.
But
I believe the correct term is a pressed ham.
Pressed ham, because it was closed, yes.
So anyway, so how did I get a permanent?
I have no idea. It was like, okay, I had full intentions of going to do it. They looked at my hair and said, you know, your hair is not long enough for that. And at the time, I hate to say it, you were a little hippie. You had the hippie dippy stuff going.
Yeah.
And I says, well, okay, well, I'll let mine grow out. Jerry, you can get one. And within 10 seconds, you were on that seat getting curls.
Damn. I don't know how that happened. And I will give you another Brad Savage thing. Is a lot of people, and I'm going to guess at this point you were 18, and maybe you're 19. 19, maybe. A lot of people when they're 19 say, let's have a party. Let's wait till mom and dad leave the house and we'll have a party. Not many people would actually print up flyers and rent a hall and
call it Utica Explodes.
Utica Explodes, one and two.
One and two.
And
the explosion wasn't big enough on number one. We had to do it again.
And basically, I have a Utica Explodes one. So that's Brad Savage.
That's Brad Savage. And one other record I hold is
Fire in the Belly.
I am the world's fastest dancer.
Oh, I don't think we need to explain that. Okay. Go ahead, explain it.
No.
Okay. It was a pre-Utica Explodes. But let's talk about how Utica Explodes 1 ended.
Utica Explodes 1 ended. We won't talk about that. We're not talking about the fast dancing.
Okay. So we'll let those both go. But the fast dancing ended up in a broken light fixture. And the end of the party ended up with you vomiting in your boot. But we'll just leave the rest there for another time. So what's next for Brad Savage?
I think I'm going to kill myself.
No, so this Brad Savage trait, you can't go on forever. You gotta settle down. You gotta take it easy. But is this trait in any of your kids?
No. Absolutely
not. So it's like some weird gene that you just got?
No, actually, if you notice.
It's cultivated?
I hate to say this, but if you notice, you were in on every one of these decisions.
I was a victim.
You were in on every one of these decisions. So, okay, maybe I did this stuff. And maybe I got egged on a little bit. Or maybe I egged you on. I don't know. But Kelly and Jerry together. Magic.
That's right. And, okay, well, we'll wrap this up. But just go ahead, get your plugs in for the McCarty Metro paper. And just how many years?
This will never air as long as I...
You know, it's going on. People want to hear about Brad Savage.
He's
a complex person.
And our next podcast, we're going to interview Eric.
No.
www.mccartymetro.com. That's exactly where you're listening to this right now.
Oh, one more thing. Seriously.
Okay, Peter.
I forgot. My wife.
One more thing.
You know, my wife likes the shoes. No. The disc jockey thing. I totally forgot about that. That's another totally Brad Savage thing. The tank arsenal. Okay.
When I started myself on fire.
When you started yourself on fire. No, but just that whole thing about how the heck did you end up with that gig? So basically, Brad Savage was disc jockeying and ended up with some deal with the military. Am I right?
Correct.
And how did you get that?
I have no idea now. When looking back,
Diamond Lil.
You know, the thing was is that was another thing. And do you remember how the disc jockeying started?
You refresh my memory. I remember at some
at Larry's wedding.
Oh, that's right.
And
we did the dance fever.
The Disco Inferno.
Disco Inferno
and
dance fever.
We did the
Jeff Kutesh.
And it was just like you were magic emceeing that, and it was just like we could do this. And within, I think, 2 weeks, we had our first gig. Actually, it was a church gig, and which was kind of unusual because...
Oh, those Lutherans love to get down.
Well, they do love to get down, but at the end of the night, the pastor comes to pay us, and we're taking the tablecloth off, and all this booze starts flying out from the table.
Beer bottles.
Oh, man. Okay. But it started from there.
And then a disc jockey career spanning military outpost in junior high schools.
We did that for about 15 years.
And redneck weddings.
Redneck weddings. So, we did everything.
Give me some top sayings of Brad Savage as a disc jockey. Sayings?
Well, at the end of all of our school events, I would – pull a, I don't know, I think it was a John Lennon out there. We hope you enjoyed the show. Did you enjoy the show? And of course, they all went crazy.
And the Ambrosia song. You remember that one?
Go ahead and tell them that one.
Okay, this is to a junior high school. Right now, I'm going to play a song by Ambrosia called The Biggest Part of Me. And you all know what the biggest part of me is. Jerry Sandusky was fired for less. What other say? Okay,
we're interviewing Eric Swan in the next episode.
No.
Because we're going to drag you over the coals, my friend.
No. And any others? Any other disc jockey ones you remember? Way over time. So that's okay.
So since we're talking about the disc jockey, this could be – we'll just do an episode of disc jockey.
Okay.
Okay, because Jerry would purchase a dozen white carnations.
And we've run
for the girls at these junior high schools. But instead of giving them to the girls, he would throw them at them.
Start a cat fight.
And I swear to God, yeah, they'd fight over. I remember you got somebody right in the eye one time.
Hey, it happened. It's a small price to pay. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us for this special in-depth episode of Rick's Martini Bar, where we get in the inside the brains and the inner workings and the fire in the belly of Brad Savage. And what a belly it is.
Get your hands off my leg.
So join us next time for another episode of Rick's Martini Bar.